The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy's professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and I'd like to introduce our panel for today. To my right, the chair of the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science, Professor Jeff Boats.
I'm feeling a little disillusioned, Matt. I think all this Lions hype is a bunch of Nadamakon.
We're going to find out very soon. Have you seen the commercial with Sue in it?
No.
It's very, very awesome. He's in a, shoe store, hiding behind a giant pile of shoes, oddly not wearing a shirt, but maybe that's okay for NFL folks. And he's hunting quarterback, and he just takes some guy out because he looks like he's practicing to be a quarterback.
Does he speak like Elmer Fudd? Because that would be cool.
Well,
be very quiet. I'm going to run that guy over. Yeah.
To Jeff's right, from the first, I can't think of the right word, corporation, dang
organization
it. Organization, that's fine.
Those guys.
Professor Dan Maggio.
Thanks, Matt. Hi.
How are you doing?
Rooting for UDM football.
Excellent.
Great.
Sounds good.
Undefeated since
it's going to be a long wait.
Got to work up to Lions.
1967, undefeated. Across the table from me, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair. Professor Jim Tubbs. Oh, the eyebrows did something very negative there.
Well, you know how it is this time of year. But hello.
Hello. You're not making it sound too good to become chair someday. I'm so afraid the day that my door is going to get darkened by my...
It will.
Well, until then, we'll introduce from the College of Creative Studies in Detroit, Michigan, Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here as always.
It is what it is. That's all.
Okay.
I'm a sports fan in general.
That's cool.
I'll follow.
I heard
them
you
all.
And Jeff doing the NFL action there for a second off microphone. So
Mr.
Cool.
House of Spears there.
What?
That's what Ndamukong means. It means House of Spears.
That's right.
I didn't know that. Cool.
We're excited to have high picks in the Detroit Lions lineup, but
there's
we'll
optimism.
See what they happen.
Optimism.
I won't say Joey Harrington too many times during the show.
Your doppelganger?
He was a duck.
Quack.
He threw a lot of wounded ducks.
Oh,
came from the University of Oregon.
From the professor of from the Department of Communication Studies, Professor Jason Roach.
It's a pleasure to be here as always. And
so you're wearing a Steelers tie today.
I am, and it's funny that when I talk to Steelers fans, their goals are to win the Super Bowl, and when I talk to Lions fans, they're hoping they can win 6 or 7 games.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Optimism.
So I'm rooting for the Lions to win
maybe
at least 6 or 7 games.
Lower for one.
Gotta go. Yeah, baby split steps. I, you know,
that be?
Yeah. Root
three.
For one, then root for another. One at a time here.
Oh my!
I mean, when win one.
To think how quickly the Saints turn things around, it doesn't look good for the
a
Lions.
A road
that's
victory
would
be something worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly.
No, on
exactly.
Super Bowl Sunday last year, the churches in New Orleans took down the papal flag and put up the Saints flag.
That's true.
That's cool.
It's true.
And they had written permission from the Pope to do it.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Wow. Last but certainly not least, from the Department of Philosophy, Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Glad to have you, Beth. You know, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Papal flags, if you will, NFL, and probably everything in between.
Papal bulls.
There's a whole lot in between, actually.
If you stump the panel, you're going to win one of our t-shirt prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you're going to win one of our t-shirt prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp and input your questions that way. You can fax the professors at 313-993-1144. Or you can send the questions USPS to Michael Jason, College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. And at our last show, we were muddling through some questions, 20 questions from Anonymous. And if we didn't think the Detroit Lions singing backup on Marvin Gaye's 1971 classic What's Going On was weird, how about we jump to something else? What's the best-selling sheet music for rock music of all time?
Stairway to Heaven.
Gotta be.
Led Zeppelin.
Stairway to Heaven. Zeppelin. Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Speaking the song of, that every junior high dance ended with because it was so long.
Elwood Edwards is approximated to be heard nearly 64 million times a day in the United States of America. What words does he say?
How many times again?
64 million times a day.
Would you like fries with that?
Sorry.
I don't know. Elwood Edwards seems pretty specific. He's got to be talking pretty fast.
At the tone? No.
Watch on the right track.
Watch the door. Oh. Don't let the.
What if I? What if I said the word? No, no, no. What if I said the word internet?
He doesn't say. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh no, that's. Ooh, getting pretty close there, Professor Roach.
Internet doesn't speak to me.
You have you've got mail?
You've got mail is what he says from AOL, which is in a different kind of form these days than it used to be. Thank God they stopped sending me their CDs.
64 million times.
I believe every time you get mail or log on, he says you
have
mail. There
are like 500 AOL users left times.
They all write each other a lot.
That's right. Well, hey, there was a movie made with that.
That's right.
Yes, with that title.
It was Tom Hanks.
And Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan.
Yep, pretty interesting. The advertising icon Mr. Clean actually has a first name. Do you know what it is?
Joe.
Sarah.
Baldy. Dave.
As always, no, it's none of those things.
Horatio.
This was the product Stumpy? Of a 60s era naming contest, win Mr. Clean products for life and what have
Moonbeam.
You.
Moonbeam. Hippie.
So, you might want to think along those lines, but you guys
Star
covered
Child
all those.
Clean. Moonchild, yeah.
Moon unit.
Fonzie?
It starts Fonzie. With the letter V, and it is not specifically a well-known name to give either males or
Vincent?
Females. It might work well with his last name or surname being Clean.
Vavoom?
Very
Vavoom
Clean. Veritably is his first name. Veritably Clean. And now that I've said that, I immediately think of a friend of mine who attended UDM with me many moons ago, and he actually named his daughter Verity recently. I was like, oh, naming
Truth.
Your daughter Truth. That's pretty interesting.
Bold. That's a good one.
Veritably
I've
Clean.
Heard good and bad ones. My wife was a teacher for a while, and she had a student whose first name was Déjeuner, and that means lunch, actually, doesn't it, in French?
Yes.
So,
meal.
Sounds
meal.
Better.
Cannibalism.
Yeah.
Cannibalism. Yeah, fantastic. What race is commonly referred to as the run for the carnations?
The Preakness. Roses.
Not the Preakness.
The Belmont. Scrambling
the Belmont
the last steaks. Thing of milk.
Actually, it says here the Preakness is known as the run for what other kind of flower?
The roses.
Dandelions.
The bathroom.
It's the run for the black-eyed Susans. I believe the run for the roses is the Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby. Yeah, okay.
It's the black-eyed Susans?
Black-eyed Susans.
Daisies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who named
that's Baltimore.
That? That's a strange...
How did they even come up with...
Is that the Maryland flower? That's in Maryland, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it
am
is.
I'm mixing up horse racing that
one. Yeah, Preakness
is.
What's the... run for the
Belmont's
roses.
In New York.
I mean, who comes up with the flowers? I mean, why not? Like
everything is about branding these days,
so.
So, all right, roses and, whatever carnations are taken, I guess we'll take the black-eyed Susans.
The dandelions myself.
What did the PT stand for in P.T. Barnum?
Phineas. What was his name?
Nice.
Trafalgar
Taylor.
Thurman.
Phineas Taylor.
Phineas Taylor.
Oh, man, you guys freak me out sometimes.
Good guesses.
Well, we got good with Phineas.
Was it Barnum who said a sucker was born every minute?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Name all three of the Gabor sisters.
Zsa-Zsa,
Ava,
and
Eva.
Ava.
And the other one. Oh,
no, mom was Magda.
The little known one.
Actually, it says Magda is the third sister here.
Yeah.
Magda, Ava, and Zsa-Zsa.
Magda is the third sister.
Magnus.
Well done.
Magda.
Well done, Gabor fan.
Magnetic.
Magda.
Magda.
Mm-hmm. Oh. We went from, the Belmont Stakes, the Preakness Stakes, to Green Acres here in about two questions. Who was the first person to win an Emmy for acting, directing, and writing in the exact same TV series?
Alan Alda.
Alan Alda.
Oh, man. Yeah, Alan Alda from MASH.
From MASH,
absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. This actress has played the roles of Dana Barrett, Queen Isabella, Ellen Ripley, and has voiced a computer in a recent Pixar movie. Who is she?
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver, absolutely. So she played the role of Dana Barrett in what movie?
Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Queen Isabella.
Columbus, 1492.
1492,
like
okay. Conquest of Paradise. Ellen Ripley.
Oh, that's Alien.
Alien. And Aliens.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what she was the computer
Eva.
Voice for?
It's going to be Wall-E, right?
Wall-E, yep. Absolutely. One of the most fantastic movies I've ever seen that not many people talk about.
Oh. Poor Matt.
Oh. What city has Canada's third largest Chinese population?
Wow.
No.
It's not
third
Vancouver,
largest.
Toronto.
It's
Montreal.
Montreal.
Are the two.
Largest.
Third
Montreal.
Largest. I think Vancouver's the largest.
First, right? Yeah.
Vancouver is the largest.
Yeah.
Gotta go with Montreal.
Montreal. Montreal.
Toronto's number two.
Ottawa?
Ottawa. I'm sorry, it's not Montreal, and it's not Ottawa. My bad.
Vancouver.
Vancouver
I mean, no.
And Toronto.
I mean,
and then,
there's only so many.
Quebec.
Edmonton, Quebec? Calgary. What else is there? Calgary. Winnipeg?
Calgary.
Calgary. Yep. Calgary.
It is? So such an oddly phrased question. I love it when we, you know, do the George Lucas thing.
First would be an interesting question.
Start with episode 4, you know. What's the third largest? Calgary? Correct. When insect goes through the egg, wriggler, and tumbler stages? Wriggler, of course, with a W.
What insect?
The key beetle.
What insect goes through the egg, wriggler, and tumbler stages?
The flea.
The earwig.
No.
It's a pretty common insect, especially around these parts.
The mosquito.
Mayfly. Yes, the mosquito. I've seen wrigglers. No standing water in your yards, yes. Right, folks? Empty out the bird baths when you can. This Hollywood actor worked as a clown and high wire act prior to World War II in Mexico to spy on German U-boats. Who is he?
Ricardo Montalban?
No. Mexican? He was a clown? High wire act prior to World War II in Mexico, spied on German U-boats.
He looked
there.
Down on them, not obviously. From a high wire.
Is the actor Mexican? Or?
No. I believe he was stationed in Mexico to spy on U-boats, to spy on the subs.
How they had subs in Mexico?
Well, around
there
the
were
coast,
plenty you know. Along the East Coast and in the Caribbean.
I'm going back to the TV show that I just mentioned a moment ago that used the word green.
Green Acres.
Eddie Albert?
Eddie Albert, indeed. From clown to U-boat spy to actor. What am I saying? These people have all sorts of careers, huh? Who was appointed the head of pageantry for the 1960 Olympics?
1960.
Head of pageantry. Where can I get that title?
The 60 Olympics
wouldn't
in Rome?
Be Jackie O.
Yeah, I was
in Rome. Just wondering.
Doesn't
head
say
of
where they were.
Kennedy.
That rings a bell.
Head of pageantry.
Oh. Pageantry. We need someone to be in charge of pageantry.
Bob Barker.
Who could we get
Bert Parks?
In 1960?
Well, I'm trying to think.
Walt Disney?
Walt
Italy.
Disney is absolutely correct.
Really?
We need things to have an air of pageantry. Who are we going to call in 1960? What animal has the densest fur?
I was probably just one of those aquatic mammals.
Sea otter.
The sea otter
just got back from Monterey. Just saw that there.
The sea otter is absolutely correct. 650,000 hairs per square inch, more than most humans have on their entire scalps. That's pretty freaky.
Wow.
But, you know, that probably was the reason why they were.
Quit staring at Dan like
commodity.
That.
Do you have an interest in sea otters, Dan?
No.
He was thinking about how nice it would be to have
600
sea otters. Because this is a family show.
Oh, oh
where
my.
We don't criticize other people.
Oh, much.
Who's criticizing?
In 1972, George Hurst invented this life-saving device. What is it?
The paddles for the
airbag.
What is that thing called? The CPR thing?
Oh, good guess, but that's not it.
Defibrillator, thank you.
Not a defibrillator.
1972.
Ooh. Yeah, airbags would be.
You're in the right department, I can tell
you.
Auto crashes would be a good place to start.
Well, it can't be seatbelts. We had those way before 72.
Hurst. Does the name have anything to do with it?
Well, like the
shifter. Not really.
It's a life-saving
You're
going to
need this after an accident if you're trapped, for sure.
Insurance?
Jaws of life.
Jaws of life.
Lots of drinks.
Absolutely.
And use those to get Tom Brady out of his...
That's right.
Did
just
they really?
Day. Yeah. Yes. When we think about the jaws of life and how they're related to Tom Brady, we can take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. Right. On his right, in the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer. It's been a long 3 weeks. And on Arthur's right, from the Department of History, and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and the Director of the Learning Center, Kathy Bush.
I'm too tired to say hello.
I know, it's one of those months. Anyway, and on my left, from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Why, Evan, you must have a whose car is in the way. I just want to get out, but I can't because there's that car in my way.
It's Rosalind Carter.
I've been trying to back up, but I just can't.
She's been hitting my car.
And we are back with a great grouping of questions from Anonymous. We just heard about the jaws of life. That's pretty interesting. Maybe they gave birth to the Sawzall, which is a lot more practical in the home than the jaws of life. What's the only state to have three cities
that have a population of more than 1 million people?
Texas.
California.
Texas. Can you name the cities?
Austin, Dallas.
Dallas.
Houston.
Houston, Dallas, and...
San Antonio.
Oh,
okay.
St. Anthony. Absolutely. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, what is the most photographed hotel in the world?
The Grand Hotel?
Not the Grand.
The Fairmont? Grand Hotel.
I believe it wouldn't be giving too much away to say it's in Canada. It's in Quebec City, actually.
Oh, the Chateau Frontenac.
That's right. Absolutely. Again, someone's sitting there, I don't know, reading their Guinness book. Hey, we should keep track of how many times people are taking pictures.
How do you track that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we just count the flashes? Or
However, I'll say...
We stop people on the street and ask them if they've taken a picture of the Chateau Frontenac.
Did you see that guy
lately?
It's actually easier now. I don't know how much you guys are into Snapfish and Flickr, the photo sharing websites. Mm. It's easier to find data like that out now, I'm sure, because... You can take a map of any city in the United States and actually have it dump the origin of a photograph in that city and find where most of the people live by seeing where all the pictures are coming from. It's interesting to do that with Detroit, by the
way. Big brother is watching.
I was at a wedding this summer out in Oregon, Fort Hood, and the hotel where they had the wedding was where the external shots for The Shining were filmed.
Nice.
And that was pretty cool.
Nice.
You kind of recognize it even through the construction scaffolding they had up.
Did you bring a camera?
No, I didn't.
And did you put red rum on any of the doors?
That's
no,
right.
But I got the shin in.
I'm sure if he does it,
here's Johnny.
What three movies have scored all five major Oscars? That's picture, actor, actress, director, and screenplay in the same night. Three movies.
The Godfather.
Nope.
The Godfather
Gone with
Part
the Wind.
Two.
Gone with the
Wind. The years were 34, 75, and 91.
91. Okay, 34 91. Would be
Silence
It
of
Happened
the Lambs.
One Night.
It Happened One Night. Silence of the Lambs is 91.
72.
It One Night is 34.
75.
35.
Mm-hmm. Jaws.
The Deer Hunter.
No, it's got to be Saturday Night Fever.
No.
75.
Well, Jaws was 77, right?
Yeah, maybe
that was 76.
Jaws was 77, yeah.
American Graffiti.
Rocky.
No, haven't heard it yet.
Tell your Shire, no.
Let's see what there's a bird reference in the title of this movie.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. 75. It's kind of interesting.
So the Godfather,
to think of that.
Yeah.
And another Oregon connection because they filmed that's a lot
when,
of that.
Yeah, but, that's but, when Louise
who
Fletcher
would
hospitalized.
Who would be the
acceptance.
Actress in Godfather?
That's right.
Diane Keaton.
Oh, that's right.
She's the only woman in the whole movie that spoke.
What famous actor is Jennifer Aniston's godfather?
Telly Savalas.
Telly Savalas, Kojak himself. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Who loves you, Jen?
What actor was the oldest actor to play Tarzan at the age of 44? This is pretty esoteric.
Oh, was it?
Johnny no. Weissmuller and his...
Michael Chief wasn't 44.
What was that, Jason?
Johnny Weissmuller.
No.
It was on television. It was Ron Ely.
He had a very interesting first name, which is sort of a derogatory term for someone who plays sports.
Jock.
Jock was
Mahoney,
his first
Jock
name.
Mahoney.
Jock Mahoney, absolutely. Oh. Yep. Wow. Pretty interesting. And, you know, professors, once again, we have beat the odds here, which means Anonymous is going to get another T-shirt. What can I say?
An F-shirt, wasn't it?
Oh, well, maybe an F-shirt.
An F-shirt.
Arms are on the both sides. Same side, that's right. Anonymous, send us a third group of questions, and this should, be even more wacky and off the wall. What was the first object to be sold on eBay? Awesome. Very cool question.
Everybody knows actually the heard
Pez
this.
Pez dispenser?
It was not a Pez dispenser. Good first guess,
I actually
guess,
heard
though.
This not too long ago.
A hula hoop.
Wasn't it like a used motherboard or something? For a
it was definitely something that was used. And as a matter of fact, this points out it
is
was
it
broken.
Is everything on there used?
That's it. It was something that was broken.
It's something that a professor might use while they're lecturing, actually.
An overhead projector.
No.
A 38 revolver.
A piece of chalk.
Oh, a pointer. A laser pointer.
It was a
thingy.
Broken laser pointer, and it sold for $14.
Wow.
Nice.
And that would have been
why would anybody
90s,
buy
so.
That?
Go on to eBay and ask that question with every single thing that you see.
Yeah.
What is the only Apollo moon-based experiment that's still collecting data?
Isn't there like a reflector on there?
Mm-hmm.
It was on MythBusters.
That's
it
absolutely
just a bouncing,
right.
And
what does it do, Dave?
Bounces thing? I have no. I think it's a mirror, isn't it?
It's a mirror. And it has a very specific purpose.
Vanity. For makeup. I have no idea.
For moon creatures.
Because the moon is looking pale.
So the Apollo astronauts can see if there's another shuttle coming up behind.
That's right. Checking the blind spots.
It's a parabolic mirror. It's like a party store.
No, you know, it does reflect Earth-based laser beams. I believe Mythbusters went to some powerful telescope and tried to do this, right? It measures the distance between the moon and the Earth, which, according to the data, increases at a rate of 1.5 inches per year.
Wow.
Oh, no, we're That's getting not further good. And further away. Oh,
that's not good. They'll What's be out that going to do to soon. The tides, you know?
Yeah, we'll never reach it again.
Seriously. Those astronauts won't be able to make it back.
Gravity and the
I
tides.
I still like the fact it's a vanity mirror.
I believe it's one of those times when you view your own mortality positively. I probably won't have to worry about that. However, in my years, doing the quick maths, been a few feet. Who is the first United States president who viewed the Pacific personally?
Okay, so obviously after Jefferson.
Was
okay.
it Grant?
It was Grant, Ulysses S. Grant in 1852. Absolutely. What famous actor was born Bela Ferenc Dezko Blasco?
Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi. I will not even attempt a accent. I almost did, but I think
put the cape down. Put the cape down. Jeez.
On the television show, oh my, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Wow. Here we go.
The character Venus Flytrap was from what city?
Philadelphia?
Detroit.
Not Philly. He wasn't from Detroit. No, not Detroit.
Someplace where he was doing Soul, right?
East St. Louis.
No.
Was he from the California somewhere?
No. Nope.
I know Johnny Fever came
from
California.
Down south.
Yeah,
he was down south.
DJ in Disneyland. New Orleans?
New Orleans, yes, that's right. Nice. He's from New Orleans. Who are the only two characters of The Muppet Show to appear in every single aired episode?
The critics. The two guys in the opera.
The two old guys?
Stellar Waldorf?
Actually, this is going to be a little bit tricky. Someone said Kermit, and that definitely is true, the host
Kermit
of the
and
show.
Kermit and Piggy would be.
But the answer is Kermit and Waldorf only. Waldorf's sidekick Statler appeared in 119 of the 120, but looked remarkably like Waldorf's wife Astoria in one episode.
Threw him over the rail.
Can you count Bugs Bunny being in a cartoon if he's dressed up like a girl like he does? You know? I don't know. I said something about Bugs Bunny the other day, and it was almost like the radio thing again, Beth. I don't know if my students know who Bugs Bunny is anymore. That's pretty sad. Who are the...
It just makes us old.
Pardon me. Yeah, I know.
Experienced.
Yes.
Experienced.
Oh, that's better.
Experienced.
What NBA team was nearly called the Whirlwinds, the Olympians, or the Unicorns? Oh, that would have gone over
unicorns.
Well.
The Unicorns. Wow.
Tight shorts and unicorns.
The handshake.
Middle one again.
What NBA team was nearly called the Whirlwinds, the Olympians, or the Unicorns?
The Olympians, could that be Washington?
No, LA? That's a good guess, but
the Hornets?
This is a pretty well-known franchise.
What part
Lakers?
Of the country?
Yeah,
it's in the East.
Who almost had an
Celtics.
Olympic team?
The Celtics, the Boston Celtics, were nearly the Boston Unicorns.
Why in the world would it be called the Olympians?
Now, I have wondered why a team from Boston would have
Celtics?
Its name have its name mispronounced all this time.
The Celtics.
I mean, you would think people from Boston would know Celtic as Celtic.
It's
you know,
true. It is true. You know what it reminds me of, though? There was a recent NBA franchise, let's say in the last 15, 20 years, that had to change its name because of certain connotations. You remember the original Washington
the
franchise?
Bullets?
Washington Bullets.
The Bullets, yes.
The Wizards.
Not the best thing, I believe. Detroit and D.C. competed all the time for murder capital of the world, of the country, unfortunately. What profession did Mr. T, Andy Griffith, Gene Simmons, Stephen King, and Art Garfunkel all have in common?
Body teachers. Builder.
They were all educators, absolutely, just like us.
Yes.
There's hope for us yet.
That's right.
I'm going to be Stephen King, and Dan's going to be Mr. T.
No, it's Gene Simmons.
pity the fool.
I'll be Gene
class.
Simmons.
Oh, my.
Which actor's voice was commonly described as a handful of gravel thrown in a mixmaster?
Well, that could be...
Perfect. I can think of several singers that meet that.
Boris Karloff.
Yes.
You know, we're going to have to go back to Green Acres on this one.
E. Albert?
No.
Gabar?
No.
Zsa Zsa?
Zsa
Zsa. No, it's Ava.
Ava.
Oh, it's Ava?
Yeah.
I never watched
He played the role of Mr. Haney?
Pat
Buttram.
Pat Buttram was his name.
No, he was just whiny. It wasn't that gravelly.
This is interesting. I don't remember a mixmaster full of gravel sounding.
He did sound like he had a sinus infection all the time, though.
But he always had everything they needed at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm. For
the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. A big price.
What was the lowest batting average to win the batting title in Major League Baseball, and who got it?
Where's Roy?
294.
It was not 294. You're going to have to go a little higher.
295.
So, we're very literal. When you say a little higher, we just go with the next number.
Wait, this is going to be like the Price is Right here in a minute.
301.
301 on the dot.
Oh, I was close.
This was the title in 1968, actually, so the year the Tigers won the series. He was the only hitter in either league to hit over 368 because pitchers were ruling at the time.
It must have been before steroids.
Well, I think that's for sure.
Maybe only the pitchers had him that year.
Oh, okay. That's it. There you go.
But now, who was it?
68.
Was it a Tiger?
No, it was not.
Was it a Cardinal?
Since I only know very little Major League Baseball, I know the player's name, but I don't remember who he played for. Where's initials CY?
Cy Young.
No.
Young was a pitcher, right?
Oh. Carl Yastrzemski?
Yastrzemski.
He played for the Yankees.
Very good batter, too.
Okay, there you go.
He was a Red Sox.
Yeah. That's right. He was Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Exactly. He was the only one to hit
only one in either league. Wow. That's
didn't
crazy.
He?
Well, I don't think there were as many
crash?
Rules about pitchers doctoring
balls. He's still around, isn't he?
No, I think he did die.
I don't know.
Recently?
I thought he's still around.
I would Google it.
I don't keep up with the mortality of retired baseball players.
I'm sorry, he's not right in the show. Okay.
There are three countries on the planet Earth that have not officially adopted the metric system.
The U.S.
is one.
Is it India?
No, but the second one is a country that begins with L that has a lot of connections in its history to...
Liechtenstein?
No, to the United States.
I just wanted to say that.
Liberia.
Liberia is the second one.
Huh. Hmm? Is one country is near India, though, right?
I believe the third one is. Yes, starts with a B.
Burma.
Right on.
Well, that's now,
wonderful cuisine.
That's supposed to be an old question. Because isn't
that's
that
great
now
company to
Myanmar?
Be in, by the way.
Myanmar,
yeah.
Get with the program.
That's right. This sport invented in 1889 was originally called Gassama. What is it more commonly called today?
Basketball?
1889?
Gossamer. Sounds like gossamer.
Something flying.
Badminton? Volleyball?
It definitely involves hitting something back and forth.
Tennis.
Badminton.
What kind of tennis, you think?
Table tennis.
Oh. Ping pong.
Ping pong. Table tennis. Absolutely. Gossamer. Okay.
All right.
Everyone remembers the first moon landing was at the Sea of Tranquility. What was the location of the second moon landing? This is Moon Geography Day, apparently.
The Sea of Big Storms.
the Ocean of Storms.
Oh.
It is.
Whoa. Nice job. Look at you.
Nice job.
Well, we do own the moon, don't we?
Yeah, the United States owns the moon. It's important.
It's a timeshare.
We own everything.
Condos are going up next week.
The maintenance fees are killing
me. Can I interest you in a condo on it?
That is referring to a deeply disturbing but ultimately hilarious conversation I had with a student who thought that the United States owned the moon last year. So.
Oh.
And we could go get whatever oil was available. Wasn't it the context something about finding
Send a
oil
tanker.
Yes.
The beachfront property is amazing.
Yeah, you got to fight off all the dinosaurs.
Well, let's just build a pipeline from
here. That's right, exactly.
You know, some people want to tether us to the moon to not make it go any further away from us. And there are some people that think that's a possibility.
Oh, no, then it pulls us with it. No, we don't want that. Yeah.
What famous sitcom actress represented Nevada in the 1960 Miss America pageant?
Nevada.
Oh, we are never going to find out.
Oh, no.
I can't live without knowing it.
It's time to say goodbye, Professor Oljar.
Well, I'm just heartbroken that I don't know the answer to that question.
Professor Roach.
Can I still buy the timeshare on the moon?
Professor Chow.
I want the Brooklyn Bridge on the moon, too. So.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
See ya.
Professor Boats.
It's about time we put the London Bridge on the moon. It's been in Arizona too long.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let's go, Titans!